We only advise you to listen to our podcast after 10 o'clock at night.
That's right. It worked for 45 minutes in a row. Voopa, voopa, timber. It was down. Baby, check this out.
I'm Max.
And this is our politically incorrect extravaganza.
Right.
And I tell you, I can't think of a better group to discuss politically incorrect humor than Manhattan Man, who's with us.
Hey, how you doing?
And College Boy, who's also with us.
Happy to be here.
Glad to have you guys here.
So, politically incorrect humor. Nothing like a $500 million divorce
yes.
brings out the politically incorrect humor.
I've got a whole list.
That's sort of what drove this, right?
No, actually, it was just one of those things like Kate Moss that just pops into your head.
One of those things like Kate Moss
You'll have to go back and hear before the beginning of the show to catch up with that one.
All right.
As long as we are mentioning Tiger Woods, I do happen to have a rather extensive list of Tiger Woods jokes, which is as good a place as any to start us. Tiger and Elin have a new prenuptial agreement. According to the new contract, the next time Tiger plays around, Elin will hand him his balls.
I like
Tiger Woods called. He wanted to know if I'd play a couple of rounds with him. Sure, Tiger, I told him. You don't mind if I drive, do you?
Oh, wow.
Do you know what Tiger Woods and his wife were doing out there at 2:30 in the morning?
What were they doing, Penguin?
They were just coming back from clubbing.
It's definitely what they.
We know for sure that Tiger is a slicer. The girls were all hookers. Why did Tiger hit a tree and a fire hydrant? He couldn't decide between.
He couldn't choose, right?
Wood and iron.
He couldn't what?
Couldn't decide.
He couldn't choose between wood and iron.
Oh.
Couldn't decide between a
wood. Aren't there any good jokes about him being black?
Oh yeah, I got one. What do you call a black man being chased by hundreds of white men with clubs?
Tiger Woods.
PGA Tour.
Who's the best golfer in the world?
Go ahead.
Alan Woods. He can beat Tiger with a 3-iron and one swing. Confucian say he who drives well in fairway does not fare well in driveway.
There you go. What is inappropriate about this? Is the question.
Well, there were I don't know. These actually aren't that inappropriate.
No, but the subject of picking on the guy when he's down, when he's a celebrity. You know, I guess there's something to be said for the guy's a golfer. Let him golf. You know, he's still the preeminent golfer on the planet. And we're talking about inappropriate humor. Is it? Are we to suppose that the humor, by and large, is inappropriate because it deals with the guy's private life? Is that what would make this set inappropriate humor?
No, it's because it deals with the guy's private parts. Tiger recently was spotted at a urologist's office. Turns out it wasn't the type of clap he usually receives.
Wah,
wah, wah. I'm dying on the vine here. It's a good thing I got the cranberry bog going.
Speaking of cranberry bog, yeah. I should let you know that the Countless Screaming Argonauts Cream Ale has been opened.
You did let us know.
And it is
fabulous.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
Thanks for
CSA
better
Cream
than
Ale.
The last batch. It's actually
Blue Canary.
Blue Canary Cream Ale made by CSA Brewers.
Is it a Cream Ale, truly a Cream Ale?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
It is, and it is delicious.
That takes a talent.
Well, we were nervous about it, but we were able to succeed making 5 gallons of it, bottling it. So, anyway, that's off the topic. Getting back to the jokes at hand.
Well,
so what is it that makes them politically incorrect?
Well, inappropriate. My favorite inappropriate joke is, but other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play?
Right.
Exactly the next place I'm going.
Yeah.
Okay, so, College Boy, is that inappropriate because we're talking about an American hero, or is it inappropriate because we're talking about death?
I don't think that's all that inappropriate at all.
Right, so good. Because what we're talking about is a matter of degrees.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah, I think so.
Because I think a lot of people would agree that Mrs. Lincoln, that's not so bad.
Well, but who is it? Is it Letterman? I think it's Bill Maher who talks about there has to be a certain amount of time to elapse before something tragic can become funny. And I
10 minutes.
Well, in this country,
all right. But I have never, never heard a 9/11 joke. Never.
Yeah.
I think I've heard a few.
Well, and now that you mention it,
go there.
That's a
well. I mean,
it's a good point. I don't think I've ever heard a December 7th joke.
Oh, I got to get right to work. I mean, how many of those guys are there left? Really, they made the statement that like there were 6 guys there this year. So we have a matter of degree, and we have a matter of time, at least in terms of tragedy.
And what about yeah? Well, no, like you said, degree. Kennedy, I think Kennedy is broaching or maybe past the timeline threshold. I don't have any Kennedy jokes, but I think that they might qualify.
Well, do you know what the, you know what Ted Kennedy said when they asked him if he was going to run in 2008?
What did he say?
He said, "We'll drive off that bridge."
Oh yeah, yeah. But see, Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy jokes are different. He wasn't assassinated in Dealey Plaza. I'm talking about Jack. Yeah, Teddy was fair game because he did it to himself. That's why maybe Tiger is fair game.
Where does Bobby fit?
I don't think I've ever heard of – well, I've never heard a Bobby Kennedy joke either. But I think the
– I don't ever remember hearing one.
I think the Lincoln joke – and maybe it's just the craftiness of the joke, and I don't take any credit for that because I didn't make it up. But.
Did McKinley die before Lincoln? Talk about the timing.
Yeah. Well, no. Lincoln died first.
On the CSA podcast, are we allowed to make dead penguin jokes? Can't do that.
I'll defer on that one.
Yeah, no, you can make any dead penguin jokes.
What's black and white and red all over?
What?
A penguin in a blender.
Well, what about the Bass-O-Matic? I personally didn't like the Bass-O-Matic. Does anybody know what the Bass-O-Matic is?
Yeah, sure, it's Dan Aykroyd playing Irwin Mainway and jamming the fish in the blender.
And he blended a bass on, or actually I think it was a sunfish, on live TV.
On live national television. I was at that program at a dress rehearsal.
No kidding.
And he took off like a Lindsay Nelson-esque suit jacket.
Oh, yeah.
And he torched it. And it was great. He said, "Miss Face, the clothing is safe for the children. Anything will go up with a little ignition." And he torched his jacket.
Wow. Now, he didn't do that on the live show, did he?
Well, this is a kind of funny story. I went from the dress rehearsal to a party at Mrs. T. Fab P's apartment, and we all stood around watching Saturday Night Live, and the guy I was with and I said, "Oh, this is a great skit," or, "Oh, this isn't that funny." And it was Saturday Night Live, because at the dress, they do 4 or 5 extra skits,
right,
and then they cut stuff that the live audience doesn't like.
So did people not laugh when he torched his Lindsay Nelson jacket?
No, that skit stayed in. He did it, absolutely.
I would think that you can't get away with that now because of fire laws.
I mean, there's guys standing around with – I mean, there's firemen on the set just for the fact that it's live TV, I think.
Speaking of
New York
of
great.
Fire and Beloved, does no one have a Michael Jackson joke?
I did earlier in the year at the point in time. I just can't remember that.
I'd like to just get back to what you were saying before about if you did it to yourself, you become the subject of the joke. You know, Letterman with the infidelity issues and stuff. I mean, he became a real fodder for a lot of humor. And there were people who were wondering, A, if it would affect some of the humor that he did, including the fact that he really didn't get into the Tiger Woods jokes as much as, say, the other evening nighttime comedians did. So I think that might have held them back a little bit.
I think so. I saw somebody the other night on his show. I think it was Robert Downey Jr. Just a little aside.
Uh-huh.
And he said something like, "I didn't get in trouble like you and Tiger did."
Well, I think Robert Downey's the last person to say it, though, right? I mean, David Letterman's not smoking crack either.
Well, and that's what he was talking about. He was talking, I guess. I mean, I think I saw it on a commercial. I'm sure, you know, his transgressions involved nearly killing himself with illegal drugs. But that's another thing about inappropriate humor. You can overcome it if you make the jokes yourself. Robert Downey Jr. was pasting Tiger and Letterman in his on his way to getting Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
The church organist was in her 80s and had never been married. She was admired for her sweetness and kindness to all. One afternoon, the pastor came to call, and she showed him her quaint sitting room. She invited him to have a seat while she prepared tea. As he sat facing her old Hammond organ, the young minister noticed a cute glass bowl sitting on top of it. The bowl was filled with water, and in the water floated, of all things, a condom. When she returned with the tea and scones, they began to chat. The pastor tried to stifle his curiosity, but he couldn't resist. "Miss Beatrice," he said, "I wonder if you would tell me about this," pointing to the bowl. "Oh, yes," she replied. "Isn't it wonderful? I was walking through the park a few months ago, and I found this little package on the ground. The directions said to place it on the organ, keep it wet, and that it would prevent the spread of disease. Do you know I haven't had the flu all winter?"
Oh, that's good. That's all right.
See, that's a good joke, but I don't know if that's necessarily inappropriate.
All right. If you're not going to give me condom jokes.
If she was sleeping with the pastor.
that would make it inappropriate. Yes.
All right, we've got a pastor, we've got a little old lady, and we've got a rubber.
Yeah, maybe that was inappropriate in 1945.
Okay.
We're almost in 2010 here.
I mean, they advertise condoms on TV now. It can't be that bad.
Well, all right, you're right.
Isn't that amazing? You can't sell a damn bottle of vodka on TV, but you can sell condoms.
Well, I mean, that's how humor has kind of changed over the last 25 years, and I would blame the internet because that's what I do. I blame the internet.
And generally, it's a pretty safe bet that even if the internet didn't cause it, it made it worse.
I don't think that's one of those rules, remember? Responsible for the disintegration of social mores in this country. I completely disagree. This long-standing argument that the internet brings us together is a pack of bullshit. The internet puts boys in their 40s in their mother's basement, you know, with a hopped up connection, and they can pretend to be anybody they want. It's the most anonymous medium ever.
Yeah,
it doesn't bring us together. It isolates us over and over and over again. And it's not responsible for the rise in inappropriate humor. I've never been to www.inappropriatejoke.com. I just haven't gone there. I don't find it there. I think it's a very much spoken word thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. Everything, though, I think gets bigger on the internet.
You know, I'm not sure that I agree with all of that you said, in that I think that the internet's, the ease at which the internet allows things to be spread is what the internet did to this. You know, I mean, we all had, when we were younger, in our offices, we all had those mimeograph sheets or those Xerox sheets that had been Xeroxed 150 times. You could barely read them, that had some jokes written on them. And that's really gone away. You don't see that anymore. Now everything is email and or, you know, links to websites or YouTube or whatever. College Boy turned me on to this individual. His name is Ray William Johnson, and he does a four-minute blog on YouTube twice a week. And I would say that probably 20% of the things that he does would fall under the classification of politically incorrect humor. And that's something that wouldn't have happened 25 years ago.
I think that YouTube on the web, obviously, is an outlet that didn't exist earlier. But when you talk about the mimeograph sheet not coming around anymore and being replaced by email, it's another method of reading the printed word. And the fact that it's on a video screen as opposed to on a piece of paper, the delivery method is electronic, but it doesn't – that didn't change it. It's only the delivery.
No, I think you're wrong. You know how it changed it? It changed it because of the speed at which it travels.
Does speed equal volume? The fact that
I think sometimes it does. Yeah, I think 40 years ago, if Tiger Woods had happened years ago, you would have still gotten a lot of jokes. But I don't think that they would have been on Twitter, you know, by 3:30 in the morning after he had been hit by his wife. There were already millions of people who were aware of that situation and were aware of the jokes within minutes. Even right, newspapers don't deliver the news that way. That's why newspapers are dying now.
That's true of any piece of news now.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Well, there's the sheer volume of communication has increased.
Right.
Good, bad, funny, inappropriate, whatever. Everything is – volume is up and speed is up. I think that's true. As for what it's done to our culture, I think it's pretty clear that Mahatma Man's point about – I don't know if you said this, but if you didn't, I will – us being isolated by the internet – it's a fascinating thing because it isolates us and it connects us at the same time. You're right. That guy is 40 years old and sitting in his mother's basement. And he might not see the sun for days at a time, weeks at a time. But at the same time, he can talk to anyone in the world. So how does that square?
He's connected to millions of people anonymously.
Yeah.
Largely anonymously.
But is it really anonymous?
Well, yeah, for a large part, for the vast, vast, vast majority of people, it is anonymous. Does that mean that we can't find you if we're looking for you?
Assume there's a CSA listener in State College, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Somewhere along the line, that person has a link to someone making the podcast, or someone said, here's a link. But that person doesn't know me. That person has no idea who I am, nor you. Nor your father, nor Max.
Right.
It's entirely anonymous. And we're the worst about keeping any kind of privacy or secrecy. If you go back and listen to 110 podcasts, you can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to four of these, you can figure it out. So we're not trying to keep it closed, and it's still anonymous.
So in a sense, aren't you saying that you do know us by the link? Because – you get the link and you listen to a couple of shows and you form an opinion about who we are, don't you?
Well, all right, now we're talking about
a podcast by the link. I don't know the people.
Yes,
right.
I agree.
And given the fact that we know that there are multiple characters on the podcast, we're even further anonymous. We are a mystery. We are unnamed. We are false.
Yeah, we're acting. We're characters. We're pretend.
Off topic, but we went there.
The first time she picked up a club in anger, Ellen Nordigan shot up to number 2 on golf's all-time money list.
That's the truth.
And after all, humor is humor because I was going to say because it's funny, which would be genius, because it's true.
Right.
Although my other favorite inappropriate joke is what he called a man with no arms and no legs in a pile of leaves.
Russell.
That's not bad. What do you call a man with no arms and legs on your front doorstep?
Matt. What about hanging over the mantelpiece?
Art.
What
floating
about
in the ocean?
Bob.
Underneath the car tire? Jack. What about the two gay guys with no arms and no legs around your window?
Oh no! What?
Kurt and Rod.
Now, Manhattan Man, you told Mrs. Fab P a joke on Saturday that involved Dirty Ernie and Tiger Woods.
I believe.
Did you not?
I did.
Can you repeat that joke for us? Because that was a good one.
Okay. It's getting to be close to Christmas vacation, and teacher's ready to let the kids go. And there's a lot of smart girls in our good old friend Dirty Ernie's class, and Ernie wants to split class just as much as the rest of them. So he's following classroom protocol and raising his hand, but the girls are not following the rules. So the teacher says, "Who said I have a dream?" And Mary Jane immediately says, "Martin Luther King!" And the teacher says, "Great, Mary Jane, you can go." And Ernie's thinking, "Fuck, I had my hand up." So the teacher says, "Who's the first man to walk on the moon?" And Claire goes, "Neil Armstrong." And she says, "Good for you, Claire. You can leave." And Ernie's like, "The fuck, is she blind?" So the teacher says, "Who chopped down the cherry tree?" And Louise says, "George Washington." And he's sitting in the back. He's ready to go nuts. He says, "I had that one too." Right? So So she turns to the desk to pick up a card with the next question on it, and he says, I wish these fucking bitches would shut the fuck up. And the teacher looks up and she says, who said that? And Ernie says, Tiger Woods, I'm out of here.
That's a good one.
Okay, and obviously inappropriate, and not simply because I threw in a couple of F-bombs. So why, let's go around the horn, why is that joke inappropriate?
Because it's F-bombs involving kids?
Yeah, it
yeah,
treats
that's what does it.
Negative implication of women, calling them all bitches.
Maybe. But, you know, if you took away the fact that all the kids in South Park were 8 and they said the same things, would South Park be as funny if they were all 40-year-old men saying that?
Oh, God, no.
No, it would not.
No, you're right. It wouldn't something be. But I think that's the charm of it. I think that's part of the humor.
It's a
because you don't know kids like
right,
that.
Right. It's an intellectual exercise. It's a smart TV show. But part of it is, you know, children swearing is funny, especially with some of the topics that they handle.
Can you imagine a remake of The Little Rascals today?
Yeah, it'd be South Park.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah.
Buckwheat by name is inappropriate. And it's entirely out there. You cannot
right.
do that.
Right.
Well, but Eddie Murphy spoofed buckwheat. Of course, even that, what was appropriate 20 years ago isn't necessarily appropriate anymore. I don't know. Could Eddie Murphy still do buckwheat?
Huh. You know, he might be able to, but a white guy might not
think?
Be able to.
That's right. Why is it that I can spend $12 a month and listen to highly inappropriate humor in my car on satellite radio, but God forbid that would happen on over the air? Why is it?
Because
you pay for it, so you acknowledge that you're what you're getting.
But you pay for cable too.
But I paid for 150 stations, and actually, you know, I'm into big. Or I'm into classical music. Or all of a sudden I was scanning stations and here's this guy saying, this motherfucker, blah, blah, blah. Right. Right?
But you have control over that and you can block those.
Right. You can make sure you're never offended by that. Which makes me bring up the show that's bugging me lately. And I think it's a damn funny show. But for a long time, I'm not sure it's anymore, 2 and a Half Men was on at 8 o'clock. And every single joke was about sex. And there's a little kid in it, and I can't tell you the jokes. It's a very, very funny show, but it needed to be on at 10 o'clock at night after the little kids were to bed. And now it's on at like 7 o'clock on rerun shows.
And so the rules have changed. The way that show and many others are written are largely innuendo and double entendre. And the way that the rules are written, if you don't say penis, well, you just might mean something else.
Well, that's true. But some of the rules have literally changed. Used to be you couldn't say bitch. Used to be, if you remember George Carlin's routine, there were the two-way words. Well,
right.
You couldn't say balls and mean balls.
No, you can't.
But when Charlie makes a joke about scratching his balls, he's talking about scratching his balls.
Yes.
Which reminds me, you have to check out the blog because I posted the Saturday Night Live skit with what's his name, the Sweaty Balls.
Sweaty Balls.
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin, thank you. Which is one of the funniest skits that has ever been on Saturday Night Live.
I don't think it's that funny.
No. maybe I'm just more juvenile than you, but
I'm with you. I think it's one of the funniest. I'm not a fan of Saturday Night Live, and it's one of my favorites.
Really? I think Dick in a Box is funny, and I think Mother Lover is funny, but I don't think Sweaty Balls is funny.
You've pretty much covered my favorite Saturday Night Live. The only things I actually enjoy from it.
Yeah. I don't know. And you have to admire the performer's ability to pull it off completely deadpan.
Oh, absolutely. That's what makes it work.
Yeah. I don't know. I I think it's pretty funny. And it was actually, George Carlin said, you can't say that Roberto Clemente got hit in the balls on that play. You can say he had two balls on him. But you can't say he got hit in the balls.
That's right.
Actually, I've seen Major League ball games, no pun intended, within the last year where there was no doubt that the catcher took one right in the old bell tone.
Right.
But and the announcer still wouldn't say he got hit in the balls.
Right. And they say things like, oh, he got hit near the groin.
Right. Yeah. But meanwhile, Charlie Sheen is saying, my balls itch. I don't know. To me, I just assumed that you didn't make sweaty ball jokes until after 10 o'clock at night. But, you know, I
CSA podcast, protecting America's youth.
we only advise you to listen to our podcast after 10 o'clock at night.
The later it is, the funnier we are.
Or is that the drunker we is?
I was just going to say, the further along in the cranberry bog bottle. Yeah.
The drunker you are, the funnier we are. There's a couple more slogans. Yes.
New slogans. Yeah. The drunker you are, the funnier we are.
I think that one may have to go up on the webpage.
Yeah.
How is the cream ale really?
It's probably the best beer I've ever had.
Wow.
Wow. I'm gonna get
I'm
you
not
out,
joking.
Son.
The only thing that I would drink at the same table is Yuengling.
Wow.
Very good. Yep.
I go up to Massachusetts this summer.
I know where this is.
They've had the first batch of the new beer, the Blue Canary Cream Ale. And for 2 weeks ahead of time, it's wonderful. So I get up there. Oh, Mrs. Fat P drank the last one. What a shame. About 3 weeks ago, I find out, oh, we didn't really drink them all after all. We found some more, I don't know, hiding in the closet with Bert and Ernie.
From batch one, this is.
Batch one, yes.
All right.
So we drank it all again.
The details of the story are extremely accurate. They really are. It really did happen that way. We had put a bottle aside for Max.
And how many bottles did you find after I left?
Three.
It was actually another case. Apparently we were too drunk off the first batch.
The only reason we found it was because we were getting ready to bottle the next batch, and so I was collecting all the bottles, and I had this empty box in my closet, or at least I thought it was empty, and when I went to pull it, it clinked, and I looked inside, and alas, there were three other bottles.
Surprise!
Surprise,
yeah, yeah.
And we drank them.
So,
when I did the, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, maybe College Boy could actually bring me a bottle on his way.
That is the plan, we're just trying to work out.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to hear it on over the public airwaves.
Uh-huh.
So that when he gets to Ithaca and goes, oh, I forgot. I still haven't been drunk.
I think I want to be called Master Brewer from now on.
Yeah.
By the way. Because if I've done it twice now, I think that qualifies.
Yeah,
all the bad news I've heard from all the people who say they have failed at it.
Yeah, well,
I made a decent batch of beer in Jersey from Ireland. From a convent where the nuns made the beer, and that's how they made the convent go. They sold beer.
They drank.
Say no more, Squire.
Montmelick. It was very good. It was really good.
I also made one batch of beer, and I'm gonna have to get back to you on the name of it. I drew up a logo for it and everything.
Yeah, is there a nice Blue Canary label by the graphic artist in the house, or have we gotten that far?
Well, we worked on a label. The problem is that you can't. We're using the non-cappable bottles with the cap that snaps on and off, and they don't take a label.
Are you talking about like a Grolsch cap?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean they don't take a label?
Because they're very ornate, and the label won't. There's not a flat area on the bottle.
I could stick a label on anything.
And now we're back to
inappropriate. You're a jerk. There's your label.
That's right. I could put a label on your sweaty balls.
Ow, that would hurt.
Yes, it would. But
well, the removal.
Well, not so much as taking it off. That's right.
Yeah, so putting it on, I feel pretty good.
I heard the other day, hangovers are not the problem. Waking up and getting out of bed is the problem.
That's the truth.
When you get out of bed, you need to be lower than the level of the bed you were just in. It's like an altitude thing.
Walking around doing matrix poses and you realize that they were drinking heavily the night before. That's funny.
That's why many people sleep on the floor when they're drunk.
It also helps stop the room from spinning.
There you go.
And you go.
Put your foot out. Well, listen, this has been a fascinating show. Very interesting stuff.
I had a whole nother page, and I deleted the wrong page. I know I had another whole list of...
There's an undo button for that.
Well, but I think I deleted it like a week ago.
Not on
There's
the
a
Mac
time machine
page,
for that.
Nah, but I'm not doing this on the Mac.
I'm a PC. I'm a Mac.
That's right. It worked for 45 minutes in a row. All right. Do you want me to save this? We have 8 minutes.
Yeah.
We're 5 days from Christmas, and I want everybody's Christmas miracle.
Okay.
And I will give you mine. I was lying in a field on my side. The saw that I had recently purchased from Dollar General for $3 in the trunk of the Christmas tree that I was cutting down with my children. And, of course, having spent so much money on the saw, the plastic handle of the saw snapped in my hand and the blade remained halfway through the tree. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do now? And a foot away from my head, I saw the hugest fireman boot I have ever seen in my life. And I heard a guy say, "You want to borrow this?" And he reached down with a saw that would stretch most of the way across Rhode Island. And I went through the rest of that trunk of the tree like paper.
Yeah.
Voopa, voopa, timber. It was down. And I was overjoyed. I told the children on the way home, I said, "He was the Christmas angel. That was a freaking miracle. You don't understand. He was right there at the right time." And that's my Christmas
miracle. Another Christmas miracle.
Pretty amazing.
I think that's great. So,
Penguin, do you remember the moment you became Santa Claus or something?
You know, I got nothing.
College boy's thinking, just before I came home last Christmas, there was brandy. His Christmas miracle. It's spelled B-R-A-N-D-I.
Right. But
there you go.
I don't think we have enough black, Jewish, and other minority jokes out there.
It took us 60 episodes of the podcast
to finally
dead stop ripping Asians. We have to.
Where are the dead babies? That's what I want to know.
I don't have any. I never did have any.
Dead baby jokes?
Yeah.
Oh, they're great.
How do you make a dead baby float?
I got it.
Put off his forehead.
No, two scoops of dead baby and a little soda.
Now, see, that's inappropriate. That's
okay, well, why? Because it's a baby? If it was a 40-year-old dead float...
Right, it would be okay.
It would be okay, yeah. Some things are sacrosanct.
No, I'm talking.
It's a podcast.
That's inappropriate.
What is Mrs. T-Fab-P getting for Christmas? What's her Christmas miracle? We should probably leave that to you two alone.
Well, I don't want to say because if she
My
hears
Christmas
it,
miracle is that he doesn't answer that question.
There you go.
I don't know, you guys.
I don't want to have her hear it. See, then you just have to wait. You can't post it.
What's the difference between 1,000 dead babies and a brand new red Corvette?
I don't know.
What?
Well, I don't have a brand new red Corvette in my garage.
Hi, Mrs. Dahmer. Can Jeffrey come on and play? Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We'll have to do it again sometime when we're funny.
Some of it was. I would urge the three of you to YouTube The Naked Bottle.
Yeah?
Yep.
You know, you just urged half of America to YouTube The Naked Bottle.
I hope so. Stay with it. Minutes 7 through 9 are intense.
The Naked Bottle.
The Naked Bottle.
All right. Well, it'll go viral now.
All right. Merry Christmas,
sure.
CSAs.
Right.
All right.
As always, thank you very much.
And
thanks.
As Tiger Woods once said, ho, ho, ho.
Ho, 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 ho.
Goodbye, guys.
I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming.